And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. But Dave, this weekend, 82 years ago, was the D-Day landing, which was the start of the Second Front in Europe, and was the great American intervention, finally, in the land war to defeat Nazi Germany. And of course, from the American viewpoint, it was always presented as that's how the war was won. That's not how the war was won, but that is how the Americans made their greatest fighting contribution to the war. And it involved thousands and thousands of American soldiers and God knows how many American families.
Yeah, this, I don't, you know, I think that the night of June 6, 1944, this country was probably as united as it's ever been and would ever be again.
Well, up till now.
Up till now, you know, that everybody had a stake in things, and they,
what they had a stake in was defeating fascism.
Yes,
that's what they had a stake. That's what people were devoted to, fighting, and not just fighting it, but destroying it, defeating it, and destroying it. Right?
Yeah, and hopefully forever, because
forever. Yeah.
This is the second time that. Within two generations where young American men had to go overseas to have a fight. First time wasn't fascism, but it was still a violent way of settling disputes that was not good for the world, so to speak.
I don't think you can compare World War One ideological, the ideology no. surrounding World War One and the issues involved.
There really wasn't. There was, as the historian have written, there was no real reason for World War One.
That's exactly right. It was a competition among various imperialist powers for whatever, but it was not a civilizational. Impasse. It was not the crisis in world capitalism that fascism and the fight against fascism represented.
Yeah, the Habsburgs did not pose a threat to America.
No. So the question is, if you're right, and I think you are, that the country was never so united in a political outlook as it was on June 6th, that so many years ago, 82 years ago. What about now? What has resulted since then? And where does the nation stand today? It's not united politically. It's certainly divided. It may have always been divided, but now it's openly divided.
Yeah, well, things have, I hate to say, evolved, they've really devolved in our political, not just our political dialogue, but our political reality. FDR had a vision, and at the time it was more of a radical division, of America, but it had a thread coming through the Eugene V. Debs campaigns and whatever, that government could make a difference in people's lives, could make people's lives easier, and could make people's lives better. But it required organization and a unity of purpose. And what we've seen over time through the Ronald Reagan era Well, actually, the Barry Goldwater era started it. Their guru, Ayn Rand. And the Reagan era is that the government is the problem. We're not all in this together. We're all in this alone. The Reaganism had more or less a, I don't want to say a benign, but it was merely a neglect of things. Donald Trump has weaponized these libertarian ideas. And what he has done is said we can make things worse for people under the guise of saying that we're going to do better for you. In other words, you can do better for yourself alone. And by the way, meaning him and his family and his close associates, are certainly going to do better because we're going to use government to help us and not you. And they found a way of packaging this that goes back to what we've been talking about over time, Jim Crow, going back to Jim Crow. That's where we are now. People, I think, are starting to wake up a little bit to this, whether enough of them are going to wake up. But there has to be better leadership and giving people a better vision of things to become more affirmative rather than negative.
Well, we know what the role of the Republican Party now is. It's been transformed from the Reagan Party, which was the really just the old line corporate Republican Party. It's been transformed into an aggressive fascist party, a party, in other words, that uses government power to protect and foster the interests of picked groups of capitalists against others, and requires for that purpose restrictions on freedom of speech, restrictions on free exercise of the vote, and pushing people back to a period before the Roosevelt reforms took place.
It's a party of grifters.
It appears to be a party of grifters, but it really is a party of grifters with power.
Yes. With unchecked power.
Unchecked power, right.
Because they've worked for years to get there. The Federalist Society, let's stack the courts and imbue them with these ideas. They don't just approve people to be nominated. They take people, legislative and judicial, on the way up, and they hold training sessions and seminars and what have you that reinforces these ideas. And what we've gotten is a coalescing of factors over the last 40 years or so that have boosted this. You had Rush Limbaugh on the air destroying the word liberal over time, libtard, destroying the ideas of certain equalities, feminazis, that kind of stuff, unrestricted. And then you had Fox News coming out and with its propaganda and its weaponization, but its manipulation mm-hmm. of things through its methods of, first of all, making mountains out of molehills, taking things that happen and running them over and over and over and over again, and making people feel threatened. Mm-hmm. And then by depriving people of information. Mm-hmm. There was that that episode that happened what, a year or so ago on, remember Liberation Day, Trump came out and he was going to talk about his tariffs, and on Fox Finance, the stock market started to crash and they took the ticker away. Mm-hmm. You can't mm-hmm. see this. That's how I do it. And of course, the third method was just out and out lies, mm-hmm. which they got caught at with the election system there, the domino, where they had to pay what, $787.5 million.
Correct.
Because they didn't want to be further exposed on the witness stand, where every night everybody except Fox would be covering what Maria Bartiromo or Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson said behind the scenes, mm-hmm. rather than on the air. Mm-hmm. So we had that coming, and then you had Donald Trump come along and play the populist thing. Well, first, before that, you had the savings and loan issue. Not the savings and loan, the Wall Street meltdown. Mm-hmm. Savings and loans back in the 80s. And people were actually hurt. They didn't get relief. Nobody went to jail. And mm-hmm. people were pissed off about that.
That's right. But bankers got relief.
Bankers, yeah. But I'm talking about ordinary people didn't get relief.
No, but the ordinary people didn't get relief, and that stood in relief to the fact that the bankers did get relief.
Right.
And people saw that.
Yeah. And then Donald Trump came and played the populist card, but he also said that the problem isn't you, and it isn't the bankers, it's immigrants.
Yeah, it's the immigrants.
Of color.
It's the Mexicans, right.
The Mexicans. He played Archie Bunker as a straight man instead of a parody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is where we are.
But there is a distinct difference between the America as envisioned by the New Deal,
right,
and the America that was envisioned after the New Deal. And I think that while the Republicans may have played a leading element in forming the organizations that did the intellectual work and the behind-the-scenes organizing that fleshed out the alternative vision, the Democrats played their role in doing it as well. They did not defend the New Deal. They did not effectively or in any way oppose the efforts of groups like the John Birch Society, and then later the Federalist Society, and set up their own groups in opposition to that. They ignored it. In fact, there was no they. There was no they. On the Republican side, on the proto-fascist side, there was a they. On the opposition side, there was no they, and the New Deal coalition fell apart.
You know, I started lecturing about some of this stuff almost 30 years ago now. And I called what the Republicans did, the think tanks program, the think tank method. And I went back to the Lewis Powell memo. Mm-hmm. And what he said is that conservatives had to control the courts, the media, and the universities. Mm-hmm. And then you saw all these groups like Heritage Foundation, Federalist Society, Cato Institute, Pacific Research Center, and a whole Manhattan is a whole host of all these, think tanks pop up and start coming up with ideas. We called them factories of bad ideas, but they were ideas nonetheless. And they had the money backing. The backers were the Koch brothers, primarily, mm-hmm. Who are libertarian. David Koch ran for vice president on the libertarian ticket in 1980. And when he failed, and we get back to that, the book, Democracy in Chains, mm-hmm. that outlines this. But they had a lot more money than the Democrats, or the Democrats didn't put their money in. The Democrats sort of rested on the laurels mm-hmm. of first the New Deal and then the Great Society mm-hmm. and thought that that would be enough, and became somewhat complacent because mm-hmm. they didn't, they only merely had to defend the status quo. But then what happened is what you're talking about. Some of the Democrats actually, try to play the same game. They became Republican light. Mm-hmm. And people say, why should I vote for Republican light when I can get the real thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats defended what was clearly by that time indefensible. The plain fact was that the Democratic Party policies have resulted in a very unequal United States in terms of opportunity, in terms of accumulated wealth, in terms of potential for employment, in terms of potential for income, regular income. It became clearly a very class-riven society, and the Democrats never opposed that. Just the opposite. The Democrats said, no, we don't talk about that. No Democrat ever used the word class. God forbid class struggle. No Democrat almost this minute, except the ones who are animated by the Democratic Socialists right now. But up until right now, with that five-letter word, class, was verboten. And yet, that was the stratification by class was exactly what was going on. When and we see a certain reflection of that now in the gerrymandering. The government, that is to say the court, says that you can have partisan gerrymandering, but you can't have racial gerrymandering. It happens that the overwhelming majority of black Americans living in the South vote Democratic. So if you say, well, I'm only doing the gerrymandering to support the Republican Party, the actual effect of it is to wipe out black representation, black American representation. Why should that be legal? Why can't we recognize what the actual power relationship is, the actual political relationship is? When you say, I'm going to do partisan gerrymandering in the South, in fact, you are at the same time saying, we're not going to have black representation.
Well, what they've done is, accepted the propaganda of these think tanks. And then what they've done is willful ignorance. In other words, we won't look at the effects of these things.
No, don't they have a policy that says the effect is not what we should pay attention to, but only the intent? And the intent can only be what we say, each person says?
It is, right. Yeah. And of course, they don't even go with that. If you looked at the Supreme Court vote on Alabama, where the lower courts found as a matter of fact that this was racially motivated, the Supreme Court just ignored that.
Exactly. And in all the development in our society that makes sense, scientific development and technological development, you insist on the results of a test. You don't judge things by what the inventor says will happen. You judge things by what the actual results of the gadget are, or what the actual result of the experiment is. The result is what matters, not the intent. Sure, everybody wants something good to happen from his invention, but whether it happens or not, that's what experience tells you. These guys, these politicians have buried that. Not that they misunderstand it; they do understand it. That's why they bury it.
They exactly right, and it goes back to the. The famous or infamous Trump idea that if you don't test for COVID, nobody has it.
Exactly.
But they're doing this with science. What was it this week we found out that they're removing sensors?
Yeah, from the oceans.
From the oceans.
Yeah.
From the oceans.
Yeah. Right. Why should we know?
Why should we know that the oceans are heating up?
Yeah.
Or the currents are changing or anything like that?
Right. Why shouldn't we be able to track El Nino when El Nino, we could let it destroy, California? After all, it's ruled by Democrats.
Right. Or hurricanes, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's a you know, there's the hurricane. There's actually the destruction of human civilization by this reliance on selfishness. It stands in the way of the continuation of human civilization, and we see it exactly in the thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, and they again the with this libertarian strain of where everybody's in it alone, I go back to that Anatole France saying that used to be a poster in my office, that rich and poor alike, or the law in its magnificent wisdom prevents rich and poor alike from sleeping under bridges and begging for food.
Precisely. So where are the Democrats in this?
Well, that was a question that the columnist Jamil Bowie asked this week.
Yeah.
Very cogent question.
Yeah.
He said that all they're doing is the Republicans invested, again, through the think tanks, Heritage Foundation, this Project 2025, which set out a vision for America.
Right.
And he said the Democrats are just putting in these isolated, smaller vision policy ideas instead of expanding their to a whole different vision of things. And
it's a completely different approach. When you have a vision, yeah, you say, this is what I want to arrive at. I'll try these policies. If they don't work, I'll try other policies,
right,
to try to arrive at the same thing. That's one thing. That's one way of looking at things. The other way of looking at things is, I'm for these policies. Win, lose, or draw. I'm for these policies. Why? Why are you for those policies? But you don't articulate why. Because these are good policies. Well, that doesn't win anybody over. When you say, what kind of a world do you want to live in? You don't say, I want to live in a world where I have only a 10% deduction on blah, blah, blah. That's not a vision.
Right.
That's not a vision. And the Democrats haven't gotten to the point of articulating a vision, and they don't have really a way to do it. There's no mechanism within that organization to do it.
They have a closed loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
And they need to be jarred out of their complacency, so to speak. That's
but also,
why
there's nothing within the daily life of the Democratic Party organization that allows for discussion of this question. There's no forum in which this comes up. If you belong to a Democratic Party club, or if you belong to even the executive committee of your county Democratic organization, you'll discover that the bylaws of your organization don't provide a forum for taking up any question like this, or any question at all. The policy that the party supports is the policy of whoever is the elected official or whoever is the current candidate. And how that person comes to his policy is his problem and his business. Your problem is to get him elected. That's all you discuss. That is not a party that could confront what the Republicans are doing.
Well, but I was starting to say that we're seeing some emerging of people who have different visions, whether good or bad, I'll leave it up to our listeners. But you have Mamdani in New York. You have Graham Plattner in Maine at this point doing that.
The people who choose candidates for the Democrats, and there are such people, they don't support those guys.
No.
Neither one of them. They oppose them.
And the question is, where will they work? We know Mamdani got elected. We'll see in 3 years, 4 years, how well he's been able to carry out things. Plattner is a legislator, not an executive. So, but we'll see whether his election will make somewhat of a difference.
But I think the Democrats have to go beyond that, way beyond that. I think the Democrats should say something like, why should we have a Senate? Why do we need a Senate? Why don't we have a country that's ruled on the basis of the proportional representation, so that whatever currents exist within the country are reflected in the country's ruling body? Why shouldn't we have a government that's led by the legislature? Why should it be led by the judiciary or by the executive? Why shouldn't the executive just be a handmaiden of the legislative? And things like that. You may not agree or you may disagree, but that is the kind of political vision, the kind of institutional vision discussion that I think we should be having. And otherwise, the Republicans have had that discussion, and they say we have a political system that is led by an
An
all-powerful
autocrat.
executive,
By
right?
an autocrat.
By an autocrat. And the courts have to follow and agree that what he says is right. And the legislature, to the extent that it should do anything, should just help him out. Okay, that's a vision. I don't agree with that vision. I want to fight it. I want to counterpose that vision with a different vision, which I just said what I thought it should be. I want a world that's based on the ability of the individual to realize, to live a satisfying, creative life, and to have the possibility of doing that. And if the individual has that, that means everybody has that. Everybody has that. And to do that, you have to have a totally different approach to what the government is supposed to do. That's what I want. That's my vision. You have a different vision? Tell me your vision. Okay, we'll fight about it. Then we can figure out structures that will implement those things. That's what the Democrats should be talking about.
Yeah, well, but you have to get your message across also, which is why the Republicans want to control the thought processes on university campuses, and in the media. We just saw what happened to 60 Minutes this week, and 60 Minutes is the most viewed news show in America,
Well,
and it exposes things. It exposes.
was.
It was. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll see who
Yeah.
gets appointed as correspondents there for the next year.
Yeah.
For the next year.
Exactly. Well, anyway, the Democrats
And
have
that
got a
would
lot
all
to
be
do.
within the next.
Need a lot. People need to have a lot done.
Yeah, we wouldn't even be having this discussion if those brave young men, didn't succeed on. At Normandy.
That's right. The anti-fascist war had to be won.
Yeah. And Eisenhower, there's a new movie out about Eisenhower's decision to go where the weather was dubious. And he actually had written a note that if it had failed, he would take responsibility. And we have a leader now who takes responsibility for nothing that goes wrong.
Well, nothing
Or
goes wrong. Nothing goes
That's
wrong.
a, I was just going to say, pretends that nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong.
Nothing's wrong, nothing goes wrong, nothing
And
can go wrong, right?
if you say otherwise, he attacks you and sixes MAGA people all over you.
And by the way, apropos of nothing, I notice that Hegseth this week decided that the Unitarian Universalist Church does not represent a real religion and cannot be represented in the religious groups in the that the that the Pentagon permits within the armed forces. How about that? That's I mean
So
that's their path. That's their path.
that's you believe what we tell you to believe, or you're gone.
Oh, you're gone. That's
The
right.
women are gone, the blacks are gone,
Right.
and now the Unitarians are gone.
Exactly.
I
All
wish
right.
he'd be gone. Wish he'd
Yeah,
be gone.
he will be gone. He will be gone. We'll see you
We're
next
gone.
week.
We're gone until next week.
Right.
All right.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.